He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla. And in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. Welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Bless the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ for one more beautiful, glorious day. I'd like to start out by saying welcome to Kingdom Life Fellowship Ministry, One Unconditional Love. Our pastor, Arthur LaValle, and Gail LaValle, his wife, they're not here today, so he asked me to stand in the gap for them today. God is sending them on another assignment today in another direction. And normally you'll hear my wife and I, Pastor Erlene Ellison, together with us most of the times when we're on the air together. But everybody like the Lord sending us to a different assignment today. I'm Apostle Ronnie Ellison. I greet you in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ today. And we just thank you for what God is doing in the midst of his body. I want you to know this here from the Holy Spirit, that God is for you and not against you. Remember that we are kingdom builders. We are kings and queens of the Most High God. And when we go to the throne room of the Lord, we don't have to have invitation, because Jesus already gave us an invitation, because we are most favored and blessed by the whole Most High God, the Lord himself. And we just thank you for this opportunity today to be able to come and sharpen our tools together. As iron sharpens iron, so do a man sharpen the countries of his strength today. We thank God for everything that he's doing. And we want you to know today, and the Lord wants you to know as well, that if God be for us, who could be against us? So God is with us. I always remember that God is for you. Sometimes the enemy will try to have you thinking that God is not with you because of the things that you might face, the obstacles or opposition, the things that we go through as Christians. But God is building his character in us. And when he builds his character in us, and we become a spitting image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then we can go out on assignment for the Lord and do his will, continue to build the kingdom of God. How many of you know that we are messengers, ambassadors for the kingdom of God? God has already, once we receive Jesus Christ and our Lord and Savior, we become living epistles of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God is near us. The kingdom of God is in our mouth. So whenever we, as men and women of God, go out to the shopping mall, on our job site, or in our neighborhoods, wherever we go, to the hospitals, wherever we might go out through this walk on earth, that we are bringing the kingdom of God with us. So we have something that's in us for the lost, and something that's living in someone who's living inside us. We know it's just the Holy Spirit that is waiting on what we have to present Christ, the person of Christ that's in us. But I just want to share that with us today, while it's on my heart, but I really would like to open up in prayer right now. So have an attitude and your mindset with prayer right now. Holy Spirit, we welcome you right now. And Lord, it's decreed and declared in your word that men ought to always pray and not faint. And Lord, we thank you for the anointing up on this phone line. We thank you for this, your anointing that's over Pastor Arthur LaVall and his lovely wife Gail and my wife Pastor Earlene Edison. And Lord, we thank you for the anointing that is over this radio station through the DJ and those who are connected to Kingdom Life Fellowship Ministry, one unconditional love. And Lord, we thank you right now, God, that it's the spirit that quickens. The flesh prop nothing. Your words are spirit and they are life. Lord, we know that you are forever present, God, that you're everywhere at the same time, Lord. Lord, we stand in a gap right now for those who might be sick and afflicted among us. Lord, we release your word. It is recorded and decreed in Isaiah 53:5 that you were wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon you, Jesus, and with your stripes we are automatically healed, Lord. So we thank you for your healing virtue, your healing anointing, that those who are listening today by way of radio, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you right now as we stand in agreement, Lord, that you continue to watch, protect, and bless those who serving in the armed forces of the United States military, Lord, those first responders as well, and our families, God. We pray for every ministry, Father God, that you will bless the men of God that you have sent over your house, Lord, that they'll walk in righteousness and true holiness, that they'll be a beacon of light in the midst of them that are dark, Lord. Lord, we pray right now, God, that you will continue, Lord, to bless us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for those who are in hospitals today, oh God, those who are in administration office building, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'll put more of your people in those positions that your people might rejoice, Lord. So we just thank you right now, God, for every man and woman of God and persons that are listening today, but you have to sell them this live broadcast, Lord, on KAYT 88.1 FM live radio broadcast, Lord. We thank you right now that we're in agreement that what you'll do in the midst of us, God, it is going to be glorified, Lord, in your name. And, Lord, I pray right now for myself, Lord, as I would bring the bread of life today, God. Lord, I pray that this just don't be another sermon, Father God, another teaching, Lord. But, Lord, I pray that this word that will be spoken through your vessel of clay today, that it'll be a word of God with power, with much a demonstration and confirmation of your Holy Spirit, that it just don't be a word, that this word pricks the heart of mankind, that it would bring results, that the power will flow in the Holy Ghost behind this word, not for my glory, but for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you, Lord, that you already have binds the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that work in the children of disobedience. Now we appropriate the blood of Jesus Christ over us, and we thank you that your blood right now covers us and protects us, Lord. And I pray right now once again for Pastor Arthur LaVall and his wife, Sister Gail, that you'll watch over them and give them traveling grace as they come back, and my wife, Pastor Aline, as they come back from their assignment today, Lord. But most of all and foremost, bless this time today together up on this broadcast, Lord, in Jesus' name. And bless all those who contributed to this cause today and made it possible. Amen. Thank you for this opportunity. We find out that today we'll be coming from John chapter 12. And first of all, God wants us to know that God has placed his seed in every one of us that's alive. And I'm a seed, you're a seed, and those who are listening today by radio is a seed. God has planted his seed, and God has always spared a remnant of people. He's always, in other words, you can use and say that he always spared a seed. So, you know, Jesus Christ, he was come out of the 42nd descendant from the tribe of the seed of Abraham. So we know that God is the giver and taker of life. We know that Jesus is the resurrection of life. In the beginning, it said that God created man in his likeness and his kindness and his image, rather. And we know that God, he breathed, and man, he became a living soul. And also English word called pneumonia. But in Hebrew, it's a word, the root of it is pneuma. So basically what had happened and transpired in the beginning of creation when God had put his seed in man, the Holy Spirit breathed into that seed in man, and he became a living soul. So this is just to try to like set the stage for the word today. We know that Adam was a living soul. It became a living soul, which bring us to our text today. Go with me to John chapter 12. And I want to begin reading, if I may, verse 24 through 26. And then we'll jump down to verse 32 and 33. And I'm reading out the King James Version by my translation of choice. And it read as follows for the sake of time. That's John chapter 12, verse 23. I'm reading that. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And then verse 24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, some translation might read truly, truly, but this one say verily, verily. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abide alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. And in verse 25, the word of the Lord declares and decrees, Jesus said that he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it into life eternal. And in verse 26, he said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. And he said, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Drop down with me to the text today. People of God, verses 31, 32, and 33 in that same chapter of John. Jesus says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And the Lord said in verse 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And in verse 33, look what he says. Pay close attention with me. Follow with me. This, he said, signifying what death he should die. Okay, this is what I want to do for a moment first. I want to define a word because we'll be talking about the resurrection power of Christ. The word resurrection basically means in Greek anastasis. And anastasis, it means to be taken from a lower position and raised up into a higher position. Pretty much symbolically like baptism ceremonies. You're placed down in the water and you're raised up. Basically, that's what resurrection means. From a lower position raised to a higher position. Now we got some clarity on that. Praise God. Here we find out in the beginning in our lesson today in the apex of the text that is surround the text. That's all that means. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, his audience were his disciples. They had Greeks there, those philosophers, and they also had some Jews present there. We know that some were Jews by nature, which means they was born into the Jewish family, into Judaism. Then we know that some were adopted because they embraced the doctrine of the Jews. But surrounding our text, the Jews was seeking to see Jesus. And they were seeking a Jesus because they really want to know who this man was that was doing these miracles and how he had did many signs and wonders in his ministry, messed up their theology according to the Pharisaical laws that they was taught in the synagogue. But we find out here that they was near Philip, rather, was of Bethsaida and Galilee, and he had brought the message that they wanted to see Jesus. So Philip told Andrew, and again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus the message. In other words, paraphrase, Jesus, they have people looking for you. They want to see you. And Jesus knew something was going to take place in his life real soon, because it wasn't too long before he go to the cross at Calvary. And Jesus had already mentioned in verse 23, and Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Jesus knew that his season was pretty much up. He knew that very soon he was about to go on that long road to Calvary's cross. So this is what he had to tell his audience in verse 24. Thus says the Lord, he said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, look at that I, that's first person, that's the Lord himself talking. He said, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abided alone. Here's the deal. Jesus give a metaphor here. He gave his analogy, but he was in descriptive term using a corn, a wheat kernel. And he was saying that except it fall to the ground and died about alone. You know, in Jesus' days, they didn't have all this modern day technology. You know, they got these plants, they got welders, and they got machine operators and all these kind of things, you know, bricklayers, and you know, they got all kind of people, you know, in this modern day application, you know, people that fly jet planes. But in Jesus' days, their source of income were agriculture. And that's why a lot of the teachings that Jesus did and all the men of God in the Bible that we have studied and learned about, they use agriculture, farming. So Jesus, the only way that he pretty much can reach his audience in that setting, he had to use farming. And he knew that they probably could grasp that because of their culture. And so he said, except a corn of wheat. One thing we know, if you hold some corn seed in your hand and you're a farmer, it's just some dead seeds. They're not anything as long as your hand. But if you would dig a hole and place them in the ground and cover it up with dirt, that harvest will come up. The blood, the blade, and everything else will come up, and it produce a harvest. And that one seed corn can produce thousands and thousands or kernels of corn. And so another good example we can use for us today, take those popcorn seeds, those who like popcorn. You can take those popcorn seeds in your hand and rattle them and shake them around. You'll never get the benefit of popcorn. But if you would put them in that microwave and turn that temperature up and you hear them go pop, 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 and next thing you know, it's not just a dead seed, you have popcorn. So what Jesus was saying basically here in this text, he said that if except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abide alone. But look what he said, that's a condition. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. Jesus was letting us know today, and his audience, except where he would be crucified upon the cross and buried in a tomb, and on third day rise again, if he didn't, we'll be alone. We wouldn't have a Savior. We wouldn't have no covering for our sin, and all of us will receive the death penalty. And what that death penalty is, eternal separation and damnation from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But thank God that Jesus died upon the cross, and on the third day he rose again, and we have opportunity to become sons and daughters of God, kings and queens and princes of the Most High God, that we can become kingdom citizens, that we can walk in kingdom authority and power, that whenever we come up on the scene, the whole environment, the atmosphere shifts and changes, not because of us, but because the anointing and the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, it changes the atmosphere because of what Jesus has done. And when Jesus died and rose again, he brought forth much fruit because he's the first fruit of the begotten of the dead, that all things he may have the premembrance. So what Jesus did up on the cross, it produces fruit. And because we are connected to the true vine, we can abide in him and he abided us, his word abided us. He said we would bring forth not just fruit, but he wants us to bring forth much fruit. Because his seed lives in us, his spirit in us. See, here's the deal. Remember in the beginning it was mentioned that God planted his seed in every one of us. In the beginning of creation, let me go backtrack a little bit. In the beginning of creation, they said that the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the earth. He moved on the waters. He moved across the earth. And that's the same way when God had planted his seed in us, whenever the gospel of Jesus Christ is being presented with his resurrection power, the Holy Spirit, he moved. He hovers. The pre-salvation work of the Holy Spirit, he moves through the listeners. Just like by radio right now, live radio broadcast, the word being brought, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, he's moving in your territory. He's moving in your living room. He's moving throughout the radio station. He's moving throughout the cars, wherever you are traveling at, wherever you are living at, the Holy Spirit is living. And what he desires to do is be us to be receptive to him, to receive him, to invite him into our heart. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we receive the word of God, he comes in, and the gospel being preached, he comes in, and poof, just like that popcorn seed, he gives life. The Lord says the spirit that quickened the flesh profited nothing. Your words are spirit, and they are life. And I want you to know, men and women of God, people of God that listen today by way of radio today, being connected to us today, wherever you are, the north, the south, the east, the west, God wants to know that the gospel of Jesus Christ has never lost his power, that the dead is still raised. Demons are still cast out. The blind still see. The mute still talk. The deaf still hear. The gospel is preached still to the poor. And the captives are still set free through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. It's no one is too dead right now where you cannot live if you have breath in your body. No matter what your circumstances is, I don't care how dead your bank account is, how dead your marriage is, how your kids, you done gave up hope on them, how they just running you crazy, how they won't listen, they doing the drugs, they doing the alcohol, they in and out of jail, seem like you want to lose your mind, some has lost their mind, but I'm going to tell you right now, as a living witness of the Most High God, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, that Jesus Christ lived, and because he lived, we can live, you can live, your situation can be resurrected. There's nothing dead in the midst of Jesus that can't not live. You are not hopeless. God is for you. Say that earlier today. That God is for you. Say it to yourself, encourage yourself in the Lord. David encourages his Lord. No, say, God is for me and not against. See, you where you're supposed to be at today. Unless you were to sit up under his word, that's what's dead in your life today could not be resurrected unless it was declared and decreed and declared and decreed in the name of Jesus. He said, how can a priest except they be sent, or how can they hear except to hear preacher? God have messages. We are ambassador for Christ. So Jesus said, back to the text, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abide alone. But if it died, it bring forth much fruit. He had to die. He had to die. And see, I love when he told his disciples in in the book of St. John, the 14th chapter, thank you, Holy Spirit, he say it is expedient that I go away. John 14 and 15, he talks about the Comforter. It was expedient for Jesus to be crucified because if he wasn't crucified, the Holy Spirit couldn't come. He couldn't release him to dwell in us. He was hovering around the earth. And then in the Old Testament, in the days when David and all the men of God went to battle, the Holy Spirit set up on them, but after they did the will of God and fulfilled their assignment, he left. But now, because of what Jesus did up on Calvary's cross, we have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. He in our heart. He gives us that dunamis power. However, in verse 25, look what he says. He that love his life, or loveth his life, rather, shall lose it. And he got a semicolon there, which means to stop and pause. What is Jesus basically saying that? How can I lose my life, or he that loses his wife? I thought he was to give and take her life. He owed my life. Yes, that's true. But what Jesus is saying, someone have to be crucified here. Somebody have to go, die to their own self-will. Someone have to stop being God in their life and doing their own thing and let Jesus do it. So he said in here that he that loves his life so lose shall lose. So that means tell me if I be God in my life, if I keep doing me, living a life of sin, and if I keep not worrying about what pleases the word of God or pleasing the Father, then I done lost my salvation. I have no eternal life. I done lost my soul because I've decided to do it my way and not God's way. But it's a continuation in this passage. He said, he that hated his life in his world should keep it into life eternal. See, this is for those who decided to say, okay, Lord, I receive you as my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I decided not to let my will be done on this earth realm, but let your will be done. I want to be born from above and not beneath. I don't want to be earthly because the ones that's walking here unsaved is earthly, but I want to be spiritual because you from above, I want to be from above. So these are the ones that decided to let God have his way in their life. See, it's not about us. It's about the Lord. And see, there's a difference. See, when you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you receive eternal life. Automatically. You're born again. But everlasting life means that you're going to live with Jesus forever and ever and ever. That's what you want to have, the everlasting life. And the only condition, that's a condition, you have to receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And he gone down in verse 26, he tells us something here. He said, any man serve me, let him follow me. And it got a semicolon there, which means the pause or stop. I want to stop right there. He said once again, this is the Lord talking. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Now, anybody could say they believe in the name of Jesus. And all of us could just sit here and listen and go anywhere else and broadcast abroad and say that I believe in Jesus and that I follow Jesus. Yeah, that's true. You can believe in Jesus, but not too many people willing to be a disciple of Christ. Because if you want to be willing to be a disciple of Christ, that means I have to learn his teachings. That means not only I have to learn his teachings, that means we have to walk out and live his teachings. That means I got to love my brother and sister, uh-oh. That means I got to walk in holiness, uh-oh. That means I got to continue learning and walk in holiness and do what thus says the Lord. So the Father Jesus, he wants all of us and not some of us. And he say, if any man, he say, and look what he says, where I am, there shall also my servant be. If you're a servant of Jesus Christ and I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, wherever Jesus live in his kingdom right now, we are kingdom citizens. Not only we are followers and teachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but he told his disciples, I'll go and prepare a place for you. And And if I go and prepare a place for you, then where I am, I'm going to bring you there also. You could be with me. So that means that because he lives, we can live. His residence is our residence. Jesus' kingdom become our kingdom. Jesus' inheritance becomes our inheritance. We are heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ because a corner we fell to the ground and died, and we didn't have to bow alone because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. You get it? Get it in your spirit. And he says, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. When we serve Jesus Christ, when we do the Lord's will, when our life become a sacrifice for his life, it pleases the Father. It pleases the Father. Because the ones that he has sent in his name, the Lord Jesus Christ glorified us by his blood and put his seed in us and anointed our life, and it pleased the Father to know that we are the mark and the forehead of our Lord and Jesus Christ. We are anointed. We are his. We are part of his kingdom. And you know something else? When we are kingdom citizens, we don't allow our environment to change us. We change our environment. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said to his audience some disturbing news, but yet it was pertaining him, but yet it was good news for us. In verse 27, it says, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I into this world. Jesus' heart was troubled. Not too long after this, Jesus was going up to the garden of Gethsemane, the place called in Gethsemane in Greek, or press, where he was going to be crushed and pushed and pressed with intense, strenuous spiritual warfare until his heart was heavy. It was setting it up on his heart that it's time draw near, but our redemption had drawn near that day. And he said that now shall the prince of this world be cast out. See, Jesus knew that the devil was coming up on the scene because the work at cross of Calvary's cross was about to be made manifest. And the devil just knew that he was going to kill Jesus on the cross when they crucified him this day. But the Lord already declared and decreed that the prince of this world was going to be cast out. All his works, all his lies, all the sins of the world that would have kept us in darkness, that would have caused us to be eternally separated, spiritually dead from our Lord, God himself, that the enemy works was about to be nullified, barred, exempted, and cast out and sealed by the blood of the living Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world, that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to take his signet, his ring, and stamp it with the blood of Jesus Christ and wash all unbelievers, all the sins off of those who have repented of their sins. He said and made it clearly in verse 32. It's so profoundly proclaimed, and it's so profoundly spoken. In verse, I'm going to walk us up back to 23 and 24 so we can get the parallelism, the revelation of this scripture that I just quoted when he said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. Look what Jesus already has spoke. There's a word that theologians use, biological, called typological. And that word typological is just a big word. It sounds good, but it simply means a foreshadow. Things pertaining to the future. or events, futuristic. And what Jesus was proclaiming in this text, in this passage, in 23 and 24, as I read it, about the crucifixion. And Jesus, in verse 23, follow with me. And Jesus answered them, said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. What is that glorification? That means that Jesus was about to be up on the cross and ascending in heaven. He said in verse 24, here it is, typologically speaking, the Lord himself. He said, barely, barely, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it'll abide alone. But if it die, it'll bring forth fruit, much fruit. Jesus is saying, typologically speaking, except I allow them, I'm paraphrasing, to crucify me, to whip me, to put the nails in my hand, to plant the thorns and smash them on my skull and crush and nail my feet. And except they whip me and I give up the ghost and they put me in a buried tomb, a buried tomb, and raised again the third day, you were body alone. We wouldn't have a Savior because in a foreshadow type, logically speaking, in the Old Testament, and Isaiah, thank you, Holy Spirit, Isaiah, the first chapter, the Lord was talking about, he was tired of the ox and the bullocks and their polluted sacrifices. That, what the priest was offering up, didn't do. It wasn't working for the remission of sin. So the Lord had to send his heaven's best, which was Jesus. He was a foreshadow of the old, but he's a foremade new, better, new covenant of the New Testament with his blood for us by his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. And in verse 34, the people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abided forever. How says thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? And who is this Son of Man? Saying, and this is parallel to verse 32, and I be lifted up from the earth, withdrawn of me. This he said, signifying which death he should die. He said the same thing in verse 24, the corn of wheat found and die. All Jesus said, all that to teach the Greeks, the philosophers, to teach the Jews and the disciples and all the audience that was there about his crucifixion. But he had to use agriculture as a metaphor to get them to get the full meaning of the picture, to reach his culture. But Jesus is making it plain today in our culture that Jesus Christ died upon the cross and on the third day he rose from his grave. The simplicity of it. And verse 35, 4 rather, the people answered him, said, we have heard out of the law that Christ abided forever. How said I, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? They still didn't get the revelation as plainly as he spoke. I want to pause here for a moment for us to get what God is saying. I want to use a case scenario. Remember we was talking about today, theme is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, Ananias in Greek, taken from a lower position and raised to a higher position. We found out that in a most unusual way, but a profound way, that Jesus demonstrated his resurrection power in the midst of a dead situation. Remember we was talking about today that was mentioned that some things dead in our lives that's going to be resurrected today once this word is released in the spiritual realm, in the atmosphere. Some of those dead bank accounts, dead marriages, relationship with kids, jobs, whatever it is that's dead in your life, that's seen impossible, like you're stuck, that you're in a pit of despair, is about to be brought back to life today. Here we find out in John, the 11th chapter, in verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had laid in the grave 4 days already. Here's the deal. Mary and Martha named Lazarus. And the Bible said that Jesus loved them. They had their house and everything. But the message got to Jesus that he whom thou lovest is sick and that he was dead. And Jesus had made mention that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. We're talking about the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, y'all, today. And when Jesus heard it, the Bible said he wept. How he loved Lazarus. His loved one was gone. He wept. And when Jesus arrived, but before he arrived, rather, he didn't just run to the rescue. Show you how wise the Lord is, how wise the wisdom of God is, rather. He didn't just jump and take off, but he waited a while. Why did Jesus wait? He waited 4 days to make foolproof, because the theology back then of the Jews, most of them believed that when you are dead naturally, that you have to be dead longer than 3 days, because they believed for that culture that your spirit go around the grave for 3 days. So to mess up the law of their theology, because once you dead, you dead when you're up the ghost, the law waited an extra day to demonstrate a miracle in the midst of unbelief. So when Jesus arrived, he found out that Lazarus was dead 4 days already. Martha said, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But Jesus already told him, said, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. And then Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto her, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She didn't have the resurrection. She talking about when all the dead in Christ shall rise again. That great sound of the trumpet. But Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Thou believest thou. Jesus described himself that I am the resurrection and the life. In the beginning, through all the course of the Bible, he didn't just have to say it that day in the New Testament. All the way in the Old Testament beginning, it showed us and revealed, declared in the creed, when the man was created, Adam was from the dust of the earth, and God created his likeness, his kindness, and his image, and he breathed his pneuma in man. He became a living soul. It already had been declared in the creed in the Bible when Jesus had already raised, about to raise Lazarus from the dead. It already had been demonstrated. It was demonstrated in Ezekiel when Ezekiel was in a valley of dry bones. Everything dead in the valley, nothing but skeleton heads and ankle bones and knee bones and kneecaps and all that, shin bones, all that, and toes and all them bones in the valley of the bones were just dead. And the Lord came upon a dead place in a dead situation. And he said, son of man, can these bones live? And the prophet of God Ezekiel said, Lord, thou knowest, because the reason he responded, I believe in my heart, he knew it was the Lord Jehovah. You know all things. You know these bones will live. It's up to you. He said, prophesy. And when a man of God did according to the word of the Lord by faith in Christ Jesus, he prophesied. And the Bible said it was a great earthquake, that there was a shaking, and there was a rattling, and there was a noise, and bones came up on bones. Sinew upon sinew, flesh but on flesh that is. And then he asked the prophet of God a question again. He said, prophesy. And when the man of God began to prophesy again, that's when the Lord Holy Spirit breathed his breath of life all the way from the beginning of Adam, a living soul, all the way until the valley of dry bones. God breathed in us. We became alive. Because he said, it's the spirit, it is the spirit, the flesh profit nothing. It is the spirit that quickens. My words are spirit, and they are life. We receive same power, kings and queens of the Most High God, children of God, the people of God, we have experienced that same resurrection power twice in Jesus Christ. We was in our mother's womb. We came through our mother's womb. And doctors touched us on our left hand, and we come whining. That was the resurrection, the breath of life we breathe. We received the resurrection power of the Lord again. When that day came, when you finally received and open up your heart to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's when the Holy Spirit came into us. That's when the Holy Spirit was released into us, and guess what happened to us? We received treasures in earthen vessels. We received dunamis. That word means power. We received a paracletus, a Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, a teacher, a counselor, consolation, comfort, peace, joy, guidance, and love, and strength, and self-control on that day when God filled us with the precious Holy Spirit, when we said, Lord, I die to my self-will, I lose my life today, and I give you my life today, and that day we receive life. Not only did we receive eternal life, but we became citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We received everlasting life. And that was so much good news on that day. Time is about to run out on us today on this broadcast. I want to continue on so we could get the message across. For the Lord has something else to tell us. Back to Jesus in 23, 24 and 11 of John. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto her, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth, believe in me, shall never die. Thou believest thou. But she already explained, I explained beforehand that she believed that he was the Christ, that her brother again. And then Jesus had to tell her again that I am the resurrection and life. Jesus began to manifest the glory of God on that day in verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And the Bible said, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind has called that even this man should not have died? I'm going to tell you something God revealed to me before we get to what we need to hear today. This is the only funeral that you're about to see that became a revival. This is a funeral that became a revival. What do you mean, Apostle Ronald Edison, this funeral became a revival? Because to be revived means to be resuscitated. To be brought back to life means to be resuscitated, renewed, refreshed, and revived. So when we were dead in our trespasses, God resuscitated us. He breathed and that dead seed that was in us, and it became alive in us, and we began to be revived, brought back to life, and resurrected in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get to the text. We know what the text said. Jesus asked where they had laid him. And they found that he's already laid in the grave 4 days, but Jesus said, take away the stones. And it said in verse 43, and when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go free. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he dead, yesterday live. This Jesus did before his audience to let them experience a revival that day. Because when they experienced the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, when they said a dead man, Lazarus, came back to life, bound hand and foot, was dead 4 days already, it was spread abroad that he was dead and now he lived. That's the only funeral that too many preachers, some people I heard preach about, a title God gave him, the funeral that turned into a revival. It is proof that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. How did we get set free in our right minds? Our minds were so corrupted and polluted. I know mine was. My heart was so filthy. I was in bondage to sin, slave to sin. Who could it been have set me in my right mind like I am today to walk in love and peace when I had no peace? Who is that caused me? What caused me to lay down at night and sleep in peace? What causes me to love people when I used to hate them? What caused me to love the unlovable people that I don't know, that don't even like us sometimes? What's in the side of us? I'll tell you who lives in us. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Agnostics. The atheists. The nail cells, the heel cells, don't believe that Jesus lived. They don't believe that he died upon the cross and the third day arose. How can this be? How can it be that a man was put up on a cross, beaten like he was, placed in a grave, raised on the third day? Every religion announces Jesus Christ. Every religion say about our name about Jesus Christ. They all embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they all want to mention his name or to try to destroy his name. It had to be someone that walked this face of the earth that caused people to not sin, that to be born again, to walk in newness of life. It had to be somebody that raised the dead. It had to be somebody that walked the face of this earth and healed the sick and raised the dead, set the captives free, and even one demon possessed, he set them free. Somebody had to be living to everything to be recorded in the gospel and in the word of God. It came, the Bible came by. Jesus was seen by 500 brethren at one time. In 1 Corinthians 15, chapter verse 6, how can 500 people say they saw Jesus at one time? They all can't be lying. Jesus demonstrated his resurrection power when he raised Lazarus from the dead, Jairus' daughter from the dead, the widow woman from, son from the dead, Ezekiel and valley dry bones. All them dead bones live. He revived us from our sins. People know there's something different about us. When many have followed the proofs after his passion, the Bible said that the doors were shut because of the fear of Jews. The apostles sitting with the doors closed. No way out. Fear to get out. Fear for their life. Shut in and shut out. But then all of a sudden, Jesus didn't need a door. He come walking in the midst of the doors, showing his nail-scarred hands, his pierced feet, his pierced side. I believe he had a marks on his head where they put the thorns on his head, and he sat 40 days, a dead man that was dead, live, and he sat 40 days talking, teaching them about the kingdom of God and the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ lived forever and ever, and he will continue to show himself alive in our life. And he's coming back a second time, and every eye shall well because of him, every knee shall bow down, every eye shall well because of him. It said in Revelation, the first chapter, even them that pierced him on his side, he lives. And this time, at the sound of my voice, I just want to take the opportunity to ask the ones who listen who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, pray with me. Father God, Say, Father God, I believe that Jesus died upon the cross. I believe that on the third day he rose. And I believe right now that if I repent of my sins, as I do so right now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for all my sins and come in my heart and be Lord and Savior in my life. I give you my free will. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from all my sins. And, Lord, I thank you right now by faith. I embrace the finished work at Calvary's cross, your death, your burial, your ascension and resurrection. And I thank you by faith right now I am saved. And right now, since I'm saved, you have a free gift for me, Lord, you said. And that gift is the Holy Spirit. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit that I might receive that extra power, that dunamis power to endure a 21st century evil demons this year, this millennium. In Jesus' name, because I can't do it my own power. And we thank you right now, Lord, for eternal life. We thank you that your word will bring results because your word is spirit and their life. In Jesus' name we pray. We praise you, Lord, right now. And it's about sums it up today for the word that God entrusts me us with today. Thank you for Pastor Arthur LaBar and his live broadcast station, DJ2, that is with us always, and Sister Gail and my wife, Pastor Elaine Edison, as she's on assignment today. We thank you for the word today, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for those who took their time out today to listen today to this live broadcast in Jesus' name. And before I close right now, I'd like to just make this quick announcement on tomorrow at 2:30, and they have a pastor's anniversary, Pastor Leo Paul in Doosan, Louisiana, on 101 Ontario Road in Doosan, Louisiana, at 2:30 p.m. Guest speakers will be Apostle Ronnie Edison and Pastor Erdene Edison this Sunday at his Pastor Leo Paul's 7-year anniversary as a pastor. We invite those who are in that area or who want to travel and hear word of the Lord and fellowship with us. And we'll be glad to have you. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you. When that being said, thank you all for tuning in today. We greet you in the Lord, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today, and that concludes our message today on this KAYT 88.1 FM live broadcast radio station. God bless you. We love you. Amen.
Toy dinosaur over on the playground by Smith Street. It had this phone number on it, and, well, I just wanted to make sure the dinosaur made it back to its little owner.
When I found the little sippy cup, I just had to give you a call. It's for a kid, you know?
I know my son gets super attached to the smallest things, even a fire truck, and I'd be happy to drop it off.
We'd do anything for kids, yet 1 in 6 children in the U.S. struggle with hunger. Help end childhood hunger near you. Learn how at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LeVay. We at Kingdom Life